What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Can y'all hear me out there? Can y'all hear me loud and clear? If you can hear me out there, now you can see me. I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Doggy Diamonds TV. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. Normally, y'all know, normally I would do the interview, then upload it in clips. But tonight, being that it's the new year and y'all been rocking with me so hard this year, I just decided to do the whole show in one. I'm going to stream this whole show live, not going to cut it up. Live, everything right here. So without further ado, let me bring on my guest. He goes by the name of, introduce yourself to the people.
What's going on? This is Brother Marquise. That's right. Raps Old School Early Edition, Triple OG of the Rap Game Official. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year's.
Yeah, man. I'm you know, it's funny because if I sat on here and fronted like I was a Two Live Crew fan and I love the music early on, I'd be fronting. So I'm not going to do that. I'm from Brooklyn. So when we first heard that bass music and all that, I was like, what is this? Like, what is this? Like, this is not rap. So, how did you feel, did New York really embrace y'all?
To me, really not at first, right? Because, you know, I was doing the records and I was sending them back up there to Rochester and they were saying the same thing you say.
Yeah.
What is this, man? This is too fast. We ain't used to this. It sounds like Planet Rock. What's going on? What you doing talking about Throw the D? You doing a lot of cussing and yeah.
So you're originally from Rochester, New York.
Yeah, Rochester, New York, upstate. What's up, West Side? What's up, West Side, Rochester?
How did you end up in Miami?
My mom's moved from New York to Riverside, California.
Okay.
Yeah. And I went to school out there for a few years. I went to high school out there like 4 years. I met Rodney O. Mm. I met Rodney O and, you know, and me and him made two records together. And I met Mr. Mix in the process of all of that because I was into scratching and cutting. I was into the culture, you know, trying to break dance and scratching and all of that. And Mr. Mix used to be one of the hottest DJs out there.
Mm.
And talking to him, trying to get to know him, fascinated, you know, about his ability to cut the records. And he kept his word. He kept his word and he said, if I ever get an opportunity to work with you, I'm going to do it. So I went back to New York. I went back to New York and I got a phone call in the dead of winter. In the dead of winter, because you know how those Rochester winters can be very brutal. And Mr. Mix called me and he got me a ticket to go to Miami.
Wow. Yeah. So when Mr. Mix hit you up, was the group already in motion or what did he call you for? What did you think he was going to Miami for?
He called me because one of the founding members of Two Live Crew, one of the original guys, his name was Yuri Violet. Mm. He had stepped out of the group for some unknown reason, and Mr. Mix just called me as his replacement.
Mm. The group was Two Live Crew at the time.
Yeah, the group was Two Live Crew before I got in it, and before Luke got in it as well. Yep, and they had already had a couple of singles out. I think Beatbox, Throw the D, and What I Like.
So
yeah, they had singles out already. Yep.
So I interviewed Mr. Mix before. Luke is not an original member of Two Live Crew.
No, not from the very, very start. It was Mr. Mix. It was Mr. Mix's birth child, him and Chinaman.
Wow. So you was there before Luke.
Me and Luke probably like a couple of months probably before Luke came into play. So I could say that me and Luke probably joined the group probably at the same time, at the same time. But wow. You know, Luke was more like on the manager's side. Luke was like a promoter back then. And I guess him and Mr. Mix, he befriended Mr. Mix, and Mr. Mix became so fond of him that Mr. Mix wanted to go into business with Luke and, you know, and things of that nature. But yeah, I can say me and Luke started in Two Live Crew around the same time.
And from what I understand, Mr. Mix really was the man behind the sound. He's the one who created bass music.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I never knew he was the producer of the songs.
Yeah. Mr. Mix did all of that work, man. A lot and lots of work because, you know, back then that was before Pro Tools and all of that digital editing. So you had to splice the tape and it was just a lot of work. That brother put in a lot of work, man.
Wow.
That brother put in a lot of work making those records.
So, go ahead.
Yep.
No, go ahead.
And not meaning to cut you off, but, you know, Luke probably had some type of input on the bass. Because, you know, Luke had the crazy DJ systems with like 20 bass cabinets. So with like 3 and 4 amp racks. So Luke had the crazy DJ system with all of the speakers and it was mostly bass. So I think Luke and Mr. Mix together developed the bass sound.
Got you. Yes, because when he's making the beats, I think he was using the SB-1200 too, and I think he was using the 808, but he changed the way the 808 was being used, though. He definitely changed the way the 808 was being used, and it set a precedent to this day. Rapping, you being from Rochester, New York, now you're in Miami, and I guess you have to rap fast and different. Who was your influences in New York?
Man, my influences in New York back in the days, man, I was like loving like LL Cool J, Run DMC, of course, back in the days with the Furious Five, the Fearless Four, Cold Crush Brothers, you know, because we used to dig in the crates, you know, we used to go to the record store and dig in the crates and, of course, up in Rochester, we couldn't get Mr. Magic. We couldn't get Mr. Magic or WBLS, so we had to listen to cassette tapes, and we had to go to the record stores, and we had to hang out with like other DJs to really, you know, see what was going on. But I was really, really fond of all the rappers in the beginning. I mean, it really came natural to me. Before I wrote my first record, I could memorize like everybody's like rhymes. So
Two Live Crew was formed. And who was Two Live Crew signed to? I never knew. What was your record label?
Well, I think Mr. Mix had a distribution deal, I think he had a pressing plant, like a manufacturing kind of like thing going on. I think with what was that place on Santa Monica that everybody used? Don McMillan. I can't think of the name.
So that would be a P&D deal.
McCola Records. And he used to go to a pressing plant right on Santa Monica, like in Hollywood, and he would get all of the vinyl and everything pressed up. I think it was McCola Records that Mr. Mix had a deal with. And I think a lot of people had deals with them back in the days out in Los Angeles, such as Toddy T, the Dream Team, I think Egyptian Lover.
So that would be considered to be a P&D deal.
But y'all did the
distribution, though. It was just a pressing deal, probably, right?
Probably just a pressing deal. Okay. Yeah.
And this is out the trunk, like for real out the trunk. Like people don't know. Yes.
We had a lot of 12 inches in the trunk.
Yeah. So what was the first record that y'all did as Two Live Crew? What was the first record?
The first album that I did as Two Live Crew was Two Live Is What We Are.
And what's the standout songs off that?
Two Live Crew Is What We Are. I think it had Word. It had Word on there. I believe it had, I believe Move Something was on that album too, I believe. Yeah.
And when you're doing these songs, was you like, what am I doing? Like, what exactly is going on? Or was you feeling it? Was like, how did you be from up top buy into this sound?
I never really was comfortable in Miami. You know, it was a different place. It was like a culture shock, you know. I mean, by being raised in Alabama too with my grandmothers too, you know, so I could deal with the Southern brothers and relate to them, but it was like really a weird vibe. So, you know, I was at that time, I was just really trying to stay close to Mr. Mix and really, you know, get into making these records, but it was kind of weird at first.
So that Mr. Mix is basically the big homie.
Yeah, Mr. Mix is the big homie, and was really, really loyal to him. And we were like brothers, man. We were like brothers back then. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So y'all going out there. I know the shows is crazy because y'all had the women. What was the shows like?
Shows. Well, the first show I did was at the Miami U Fair. And and I remember telling the guys, I'm like, yeah, man, I'm cool out here. I'm going to pretend like I'm a LL Cool J. You know what I'm saying? Go out here. And yeah, man, I'm giving one of the best performances. You know, this is my first show here in Miami. I think it was my first big show, period. Mm. And I went out there and killed it. And it was girls in the front and they were screaming. And yeah, and I was like, wow. I was like, wow, this is crazy. This is really, really crazy. Yeah.
So how many albums did y'all do as Two Live Crew? Because I think I caught on around the Me So Horny time. Was it stuff prior to that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was definitely things prior to that. It was, what was it? It was Two Live Is What We Are. Mm-hmm. Two Live Is What We Are. Then I think it was, what was that? The Mood Something album. Yeah, I think it was like two or three albums before Nasty As We Want to Be.
Mm. And then so what is Two Live Crew? When I think Doodoo Brown is not a Two Live Crew song, right?
No, Doodoo Brown was just a lyric that I had put in a song called Come On Baby.
So that lyric spawned the whole song, but it's your lyrics.
Yes, my lyrics. Yeah, Doodoo Brown. Yes, my lyrics. Yep.
And then it became a call and response song, basically, right? Like, right. Got you. So,
yeah. I know if you was going to ask that, I know that sounds gross, Doodoo Brown. Yeah. But I didn't get that from any kind of like, you know, anything, you know, gross or anything like that. I got that from a guy who had a top on his car. Mm. It was a rag. And he was like, yeah, man, I just got my Doodoo Brown rag top put on the car. So I just took the word and, you know, and used it. It wasn't nothing crazy with that.
So why is it that when we think Two Live Crew, we think Luke, but we don't, like, why is it that Fresh Kid Ice, he don't really get the recognition? Like, we think of Luke, but we don't really think of y'all too much. Why do you think that is?
That's because Luke had, I guess he had took it upon himself to get out in the front when all of the publicity was going on. Everybody knew Two Live Crew, and we were all together before the Nasty As We Want to Be album came out and the controversy spun around the song Me So Horny. Luke kind of put himself in the front, and you know, and truthfully. With me, you know, it was wrong for me to let him do that, but I never really could relate to Luke. He wasn't really my kind of guy, and I really didn't want to even really get to know dude.
But do you know that you, yeah, I played it off well, because we would have not known that. I thought you was a Miami dude, so you really played your part, you know, you played your part well.
Yes, I did, man. And that was my choice to stay down there and all of that, you know, and all of that foolishness. That was my choice. And, you know, and my loyalty turned into stupidity when it comes to that situation as well.
Do you feel like you were so loyal that you started being disloyal to yourself?
Definitely okay. Disloyal to myself. I used to tell Mr. Mix all the time, I want to leave, man. This is not cool. This dude is not cool. This place is not cool. But as I grew in Miami and as I started venturing off from Luke and his camp and started meeting other people, I started meeting some beautiful cats. Mm. I started meeting some beautiful older people. Like, you know, when my mom's had passed, it's like, you know, it's like about like two or three families that took me in there in Miami, and women with kids and everything were calling me their sons. Like, yo, you lost your mother, so now you're my son, and my home and everything that I have is open to you. And Miami has some very, very beautiful people. Mm. Very, very beautiful people. Very down to earth, very, very real, very loyal people, you know?
Are you a legend?
Sometimes I think I am, and then sometimes I run from the word. Sometimes I run from the word famous.
What bothers you about that? What bothers you about legend?
Because you know, and a lot of people might think I'm wrong for this, but because I feel like I've never really enjoyed the fruits of my labor, and, you know, and fame without fortune is torture, you know. And being in Two Live Crew, you know, we went through Two Live Crew making those albums, and that little seven, eight year run that we had, we were not getting paid. We were not getting paid.
Whoa. 7, 8 years.
We were not getting paid what we were supposed to. We were not getting paid anything close to what we were supposed to.
So where was the money going?
Luke was keeping the money. Luke was keeping the money. He'd give us a little show money. That's all we would get, show money, and we probably wasn't getting all of the show money.
So you never had your publishing?
Oh, no.
You was writing all the lyrics.
Yep.
You want Ice?
Writing all of the lyrics. Me and Fresh Kid Ice was writing all of the lyrics. I wrote the biggest record we ever had, Me So Horny. I wrote Chinaman's lyrics for that record too.
So you wrote Chinaman lyrics, your lyrics. Wow.
Yep.
All right. Hold up. How many albums did y'all do that you didn't see no money from? So you never seen no money from nothing?
Probably a little advancement, and then started seeing a little money after Nasty As We Wanna Be, but it wasn't nothing. What, $27,000-$30,000, something like that? It wasn't nothing. It wasn't nothing for real. He was giving us peanuts.
So you didn't know anything about publishing back then?
No, I didn't know anything about publishing. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about publishing. They came with the publishing papers after we did Nasty As We Want to Be. And that's when they came with the BMI papers.
Wow. And then you signed. What did you sign exactly?
Well, that's writers. Just get writers. No mechanicals. No nothing. Just writers.
So explain to the people, if you can, what is mechanicals?
I think mechanicals,
if they use your stuff, is like in stadiums and commercials and stuff?
Probably stuff like that. Probably, royalties off of music that's being licensed.
Got you. So you could have been getting all this play in London and all this place, and you not seeing a dollar off of it. Or it's going to Luke.
Yep, it's going to Luke. It was going to Luke. Luke had all of the money.
So I know y'all did tours though, right?
Yes, we did. Do tours.
And how much was you getting a show, if you could remember?
Man, I don't even know how much we were getting a show. Some would say 17, 20, but I think it was way, way more than that.
But how much did you personally get? How much do you remember how much you were getting paid?
Whatever Luke told the management guy to give us.
So
If I can remember correctly, all of our checks were different. I would get one amount, and Chinaman probably get one amount, and Mr. Mix would probably get one amount.
What was your biggest check, if you could remember?
I think my biggest check from Luke was like, what, $27,000 at one time, and then I think it was another one for $17,000, then it was another one for like $12,000.
Because I was going platinum too.
Right, that's right. I think we had the fifth gold platinum. We had the fifth gold record in hip hop, I believe, right after EPMD.
So you can remember, basically, you can count all the money you got paid, because you're running off numbers, but there's not big numbers. Like, the kids now hold that to their ears.
They are not big numbers, man. And I wasn't trying to even befriend Luke or get to know Luke to even get in there and see what was really going on. You know, I can count on this many hands how many times I've asked Luke for some money, or it's royalty time, or where is the money. And then when a couple of times when I did go ask him for some money, he was like, well, here y'all come begging. Wow. There they go. Look at him. Here they come begging. So, you know,
begging for your money.
Begging for our own money. Yep.
So, all right. So help me understand, because the management, was that Two Live Crew management, or was that
Luke's management? That was Luke's management. And that was already a conflict of interest.
And how old were you at this time, for the people who don't know?
Well, I got in Two Live Crew, I think, started with Two Live Crew when I was, like 18 or 19?
See, you was a kid. Yeah, now when people listen, they be like, oh, you should have known, but you was 18 years old. You know what I'm saying?
19, yep. Right out of high school. Fresh out of high school, yep.
Damn. So, it was a point where you wasn't in the group no more. What made you leave the group?
Well, it just got to the point, man, to where, it's getting really, really disrespectful. And you can tell that Luke wanted to break up the group because one time before, I remember this vividly like it happened yesterday. Me and Luke was in his BMW and Luke, he was like, I'm gonna give you $1 million. I want you to leave Mr. Mix and Chinaman and come with me. I'm gonna give you $1 million. I said, no, I said, give me and Chinaman $1 million apiece and give Mr. Mix $2 million because he's doing all of the work. Luke told me I was crazy. Mm. And then he kind of distanced himself from me and I kind of distanced myself from him like at that time. And I tried to tell Mr. Mix and Chinaman what was going on, but Mr. Mix was, he was like, Luke is my brother. He wouldn't do that. You're lying. And then Luke flipped it back on me like I'm jealous and I'm trying to break up the group.
Let me ask you something. Was it drugs into play? Was it women back then? What was going on?
Man, we was in Miami in the 80s. It was drugs everywhere.
Scarface, for real, right?
What's going on in Harlem? I used to see all of the Harlem cats in Miami. Yeah, it was drugs everywhere.
So was it a part, do you think is a time where you might have got caught up partying so much that you wasn't really paying attention to your money?
I was partying with no money.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, everything was free. I was partying with no money and I was partying by myself. And like I said before, it had got to a point to where, I wasn't even trying to ask Luke for anything. I wasn't even trying to see him, basically talk to him. I didn't want to have nothing to do with him.
So how was y'all working? I mean, you would just come to the studio and write and do stuff. And then how was that going? How was that working?
I would want to try to do all of my parts in there with Mr. Mix by himself. Mm-hmm. And when everybody else come, I would try to be out of there. But yeah, it was hell. It was torture. You sitting in the room with somebody that that's sticking you like that, and you sitting in there and trying to work with them. It was not a good feeling.
So let me keep it real. Why didn't you fuck Luke up?
I don't have any brothers and sisters. I didn't have any brothers and sisters at that time. I just had a mom. You got to remember, I'm down there in Miami. I'm down there in Miami in the 80s, and it's crazy. And I seen Luke do some crazy stuff. So, I don't know if he was trying to do that in front of us to kind of let us know that he's this type of guy. But when we first got there in our bags weren't even packed. We ain't even really packed our bags. And we pulled up at Luke's mom's house. And I never forget this. He jumps out of the car and goes in the house and beats up his baby mother. Mm. I'm looking at that. We don't hit. I'm ready to go, man. This dude is in there beating up a woman. Mm. And I don't want anything bad about him like that. But, I have seen him do that. I have seen Luke do that. And it wasn't like, nobody was kind of scared of him or nothing like that. But, it was his own thing. It was his own thing. And he was there in Miami. And.
Did he have a lot of goons around him after a while? Like, did he have a lot of street dudes around him?
Not really. Okay. He just had guys around him. Not really. All of the goons and the street guys was telling me, yeah, Luke ain't going to give you no money, but he's going to make you famous. Just hang in there with him.
Wow. So, it was a point where you felt like you was getting pimped and you wanted to be out. How was that? Did you, was it an amicable split? Were you able to leave your contract? How did that work?
I don't think it was a contract. A contract didn't come into play until I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think we signed a contract until Nasty As We Want To Be.
So you did all these albums. You was never signed.
About two or three records. We made about two or three albums before we were even under contract. Yeah, tell you the truth. I know it, right? I know
it. You was 18 years old, though. You was 18. So, you know, we, so was your mother still alive at the time?
Yep. Yes, my mother was alive. My mother was still alive at the time.
Did she know what was going on?
Now, my mother didn't know anything about the record business. And as a matter of fact, she didn't want to know anything about it. She was like, son, that's you. This is your dream. You're getting a little money. I don't even want none of your money. I'm here working. I'm your mother. You can call me for support, but that's you. Yep.
So where did you live? Did you ever have your own apartment, own car? Like, how was you living?
Well, we lived in an apartment together. I had to have someone to ask Luke to help me get a car. He didn't even want to do that. He was, and then he finally broke down and got me a car.
What kind of car was it?
I had a Mustang GT. I had a stick. Luke taught me how to drive a stick.
Yeah.
And I had a taught me how to drive a stick.
So Chinaman, Fresh Kid Ice. I don't feel like his memory is really celebrated because he's definitely a part of the legendary group. You know, I remember you the most, but I remember him because I'm like, yo, who is this Chinese? Is he black? Is he Chinese? I'm confused. Why do you think that he doesn't get celebrated at all?
Because everybody, when it comes to Two Live Crew, everybody automatically gravitates to Luther. But Chinaman is he's half Asian and Trinidadian, and he's from Brooklyn, New York. He graduated from Tilden High School.
He's from my town. Wow, I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yes, he has brothers and everybody up there, and he's from Brooklyn.
I feel good about that now. Hold on, he's from the K. You know what I'm saying? That's good. The King, Kings County.
Yep.
So y'all really New Yorkers. So, but you know, BET Awards. You have all these things that Luke does, but he never really mentions y'all. Why do you think that is?
Because he wants all of that for himself.
Wow.
He wants all of that for himself, man. He wants all of that for himself. And he still can have it. But I'm just trying to honor Chinaman's death in the right way. So that's why I'm coming out speaking my truth.
Yeah. Why have you been silent so long?
And even if it makes me seem really, really unintelligent or whatever, but I'm coming out speaking the truth.
Why have you been silent?
Because for a long time, Luke was out there putting himself in the front, and I'm just basically tired of him lying.
Gotcha.
I'm just basically tired of him lying. Chinaman died. He died with nothing.
Wow.
And just tired of Luke lying. I'm just tired of him lying. Luke did not do all of that by himself. He did not have a name until we came into play. Everybody helped each other. But Luke wanted to take all of the credit for going all the way to the Supreme Court and doing all of that. We did all of that together.
Yeah, because you actually were banned. You actually, what was that like, fighting the Supreme Court and everything?
It was cool. Actually, going to court, it was okay. It was kind of like, you know, it was like messing with us, really. It was like really over some petty stuff. I think that sheriff guy down there, Nick Navarro, he just wanted to get some fame, some props, and some notoriety for messing with somebody, and he chose to, you know. And he chose to mess with us.
This is a crazy question, but I got to ask you. How did y'all dodge AIDS? I just got to know. How y'all dodge AIDS? Because I know y'all had a lot of women out there. I know y'all was going crazy. How did y'all not get the germ?
Hey, man.
I got to ask that.
That's the first time somebody ever asked that. I thank God. God right that I don't know. I don't got it.
Yeah.
I thank God I ain't got coronavirus or none of that. I'm good. I don't know.
Yeah, because I want people to know, talking to you
behind. It wasn't that wild.
Isn't a misconception that it was just sex all day, every day?
No. I definitely did not live a debaucheric lifestyle.
God, wow. You know what we would think you did, though, because of the image.
Yeah, well, I could always... It was easy, and I always liked the cute girls with the natural hair, kind of fair, light skin. I liked pretty dark skin girls. You know, I liked all kind of women, but you know, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. And I thank God that I didn't.
You didn't spread children all around the country.
Oh, no. Not that either. I used to hear Luke talk about all the time about going to Ebony drugstore and getting the one shot. And Luke used to always say, yeah, you ain't getting none unless you get burnt.
Wow.
I don't know about all that.
So was you around? Who was the Poison Clan?
Poison Clan's JT Money.
That's like one of my favorite rappers right there, JT Money.
Yep, and Drugs and Debonair from East New York.
Wow.
They came from New York to Miami.
That's one of the worst places. So, the Poison Clan, you was around for that also?
Yeah, I was around for that.
What was that relationship like? Did everybody have this tumultuous relationship with Lou? Because I remember when H-Town was signed to Lou and they came on the BET Awards.
I was out of there when H-Town came. I don't know nothing about none of that.
But remember, they had the handcuffs on. They was like, we're under, we don't want to be on this label no more. We hate the label and all that. Like you already knew to leave.
Yep. Luke didn't want to pay nobody nothing. He didn't want to pay nobody nothing. And I guess he felt like, you know, since he took all of our money. And actually, Luke took the Poison Clan from Mr. Mix.
Wow. So JT Money and him was signed to
Poison Clan from Mr. Mix. That was Mr. Mix group. So instead of Luke helping Mr. Mix distribute that the right way, Luke just took the whole project. And I remember Luke changed the locks on the studio.
So Mr. Mix couldn't get in the studio no more.
Yep, couldn't get in to finish doing work.
So Mr. Mix did all these beats. Did he get paid? I never asked him. Did he get his money too?
I don't know. I hope he did. Hope he did. Really, really loved Luke. He like Luke couldn't do no wrong to Mr. Mix. He really, really loved Luke. And I was loyal to Mr. Mix. So I'm like, you know, I'm hanging in here with you. But, you know, this guy right here, man, I don't know.
So can you right now go outside and do a show and say Brother Marquise of Two Live Crew? Can you use that name?
Yes, I can.
Was it a time where you couldn't use the name?
Well, Little Joe will always try to tell you that you can't use the name.
Who the hell is Little Joe?
Story.
Who the hell is Little Joe?
Luke sold a catalog to Little Joe for like under $1 million. Or Luke could tell you that Little Joe took it or whatever, but I think it was some money exchange somewhere. Little Joe was at one time, he was Luke's in-house attorney. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that he put himself in position to wait for Luke to make a mistake so that he could take advantage of it and possibly take over Luke's company catalog and all of that, which he did.
So he sold your music.
That's right. Left sold us like slaves to the white man and then went and told everybody we went over there to the white man working like slaves. And he sold us like slaves in the beginning. He dehumanized us first. And just sold our whole catalog, went to bankruptcy court and sold our whole catalog. Like, yo, that's them Negroes' work. I done already made the money off of it. I'm going to sell it to the white man. And then we went over there to the white man. And then Luke telling everybody on the black side of the business, don't mess with them. They over there with the white man. And the white man then took my music. And the white man then took my music. But Luke ain't being honest with everybody, telling people that he sold the music.
So when he sold us and got this money, did you get anything?
No. Never got anything from Luke. Never got anything. I think Luke got millions of dollars for the band in the USA album and didn't give us anything. Some say $5 million. Some say $14 million. I think we only got $12,000 for that whole thing because Luke, we did some tour. It was supposed to be like a $1 million tour. And I think Luke did some of the dates. He did some of the dates and gave me $12,000, and that was that.
$12,000 for a whole tour?
Yep. I don't even think we finished the tour, but he didn't give us any money. He didn't give us any money off of the Band in the USA album, which Atlantic Records distributed the album.
So you were just getting per diem a day?
I was always feeding myself.
You didn't even get per diem?
Nope. I was always feeding myself. Yep. You look could be like, here they come. They must be hungry. They must want something to eat. So we got to listen to all of that.
You didn't get per diem. He couldn't even give you $35 a day.
Man, that man wasn't doing nothing. We was out there on our own, baby. We was out there on our own. Yep.
Unbelievable. Well,
He was a cold dude, man. And I ain't trying to smash him or bash the black man or nothing like that, but this is just what I remember. This is my story. This is my truth.
So for the people who don't know and the artists out there, per diem is a daily allowance that you get from the record label to feed yourself. It's really for food, basically. It's not for they're not going to give you sneaker money. They're not going to give you get high money. It's for you to eat every day. You know, your room is basically taken care of. So he at least put y'all in hotels, right?
Oh yeah, we had hotels. Okay. Yeah, we had hotel rooms. Yeah, we had hotel rooms, and sometimes it would be a deposit. I know we was getting a deposit in the early days, but Luke would give us some of the deposit money. But then when things got bigger, he would keep the deposit money, and we would just get money after the show. So we would just get money. We come home from a show, not really after the show. He would pick up the money after the show and wait till we get home to pay us.
So, it was a point where you were famous, excuse my language, you was a famous broke person.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And that's how I made it. I was so famous that I could make it by being broke. Wow. Ain't that something? Yep.
Wow. That's wow. When the last time you had a conversation with Luke?
Last time, I think it was at Jazz in the Gardens when Anita Baker performed at Jazz in the Gardens. She kept saying it was her last show. And I'm a Anita Baker fan. Mm-hmm. And that was you.
What was the conversation like?
Somebody have to go, well, first, when Luke first came in, he walked right by me like I didn't exist. So it's always one of Luke's guys that always say, hey, Luke's back here, come and see him. And Luke really don't want to see me. But, you know, some of the guys say, Luke back here, man, go see him. And I went back there and la, 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 la. He gave me his phone number. I called him. He talked to me one time and then he blocked me as usual.
Damn. He blocked me. So right now you have all this music out there that you've done. You said it's what, 8 albums or more?
It's probably more than 8 albums. It should be like around 13 albums because I think we did something. We made a couple of albums over there with Little Joe Records. So it should be about 10, 12 albums.
So you have all of these albums out there, and you don't get any. Did you start getting your everything back now? Are you getting your publishing now for everything, or you still don't get nothing?
Writers, we just get writers from BMI, Little Sound Exchange check. Yep.
But now, when did that start? Thank you for the donation, Jewels. Somebody said I feel sorry for this brother, but Luke growing up is addressing black issues in a Republican Hispanic Miami. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So Miami now is a hotspot. It's a hub. It you know, we got Rick Ross, we have Fat Joe moved there, we have Nori down there. Do you got a key to the city?
Oh no. I'm good inside the city of Miami, like Liberty City and through up and through there, but I've never really got into the record industry part with guys down there. Maybe that could have been my fault. Record industry cats, other rappers don't mess with me for some reason, and I'm cool with that. I'm cool with it. I am so.
So French Montana uses his record, and Luke was upset about it. But French basically said, you don't own the record. I know who I paid. What was your thoughts on that?
He was right. I think he paid Little Joe Records, Joseph Weinberger. But French Montana, when I met him, he was a real cool dude. Mm. Real cool dude. I had a really, you know, really quick little good, like 2 or 3 minute conversation with him. He was a real cool guy.
You know, French it's Montana. Funny talking to you. Reason why I love my job, because this is my hobby, but I turned it into my job. I never thought in my whole life I would ever be talking to you. Like, seriously, because I remember being a little kid and y'all music come on and we just had to turn it off. Like, y'all was getting no burn, because once we started realizing, hold on, this is like the closest we could get to some type of soft porn. You know what I'm saying? I never thought I would be ever talk to you in life. And this is just like, I'm never been starstruck, but I'm a little amazed because I really, really rock with you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, man, this is Brother Marquise. And your voice was a little different, your rapping voice from your talking voice. Why is that?
I have no idea. Probably was those effects that Mr. Mix was putting on me. And going back to like the beginning of this conversation, when you were saying that, you know, that you've never did a lot of talking because you felt stupid. I felt stupid the way that everything happened. We never had anybody in our corner. We were very, very young and we got taken advantage of at a young age and so quickly to where it's just look up, man. And it's just done. It's just over. You know what I mean? And makes me feel really, really stupid for being that loyal for so long and choosing to let myself stay in that type of abuse. You know?
Yeah. Shout out to Heritage Hip Hop on the check-in too. So, Brother Marquise, were you able to leave with your name?
Yeah, my name, of course. I'm gonna leave with my name.
So how come when y'all left? Because there's a point where you and Chinaman reunited, right? Did y'all ever reunite and do stuff?
Yeah, Chinaman was my guy, man. And I told Chinaman. I told him, I said, man, like after his accident, I told him, and I remember telling him this a couple of times. I'm like, yo, man, you kind of messed up, you know, that thing. I'm like, I'd never leave you. I'm like, I'd never leave you. I know you need me and I'd never leave you. So, you know, I tried to be loyal to him as well after Mr. Mix had left the group. And me and Chinaman stayed and worked up under Joseph Weinberger, who bought the catalog and the rights from Luther, and we were just following our music, trying to preserve a little bit of what was left of the legacy.
So Ice-T get all the credit for the 99 Problems joint, but
yeah, 99 Problems. I wrote
that's
99.
Actually you right there.
Yeah, that's me.
And
yeah,
you never me. Did Jay-Z ever? Did you get paid for that?
No, but I don't even want to mess with Jay-Z. Jay-Z got something on his phone that'll blow out my back from where he at. You leave that alone. I'd rather go through it with Ice first, because I know Ice gonna send somebody to kill me, but I ain't even trying to even mess with Jay-Z. Let Jay-Z have that money, him and his beautiful family and his beautiful family and whatever they do. That's gone and long up under the bridge. But yeah, I wrote that record. And me and Ice was friends before the record came out.
So you wrote Ice-T. Come on, you know what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
And you never got pubbed for that?
No, Ice gave me $10,000. He gave me $10,000. And I tried to get a lawyer, but not realizing that that Jay-Z is really, really, it got to the Associated Press. And then Ice used the excuse, oh, I put the suits on him. I got a lawyer. I put the suits on him.
So they call you snitches now. Yeah, you know when you try to sue for your money, they call you a snitch.
I ain't never snitched. And that's probably one reason why I never really shared this story before now, because it does make me feel like I'm snitching. But I ain't never snitched on nobody. And I have been in the trenches with some heavy fellas. I ain't never snitched on nobody. But yeah, Ice only gave me $10,000 for the record and fell out with me.
And then $10,000 one off, no pub.
No pub, no nothing. And the record got licensed, what, 8 times already.
And if you had a got pub, the pub probably would have went to Luke because he had your pub. Like how would that have worked?
That should have went all the way to me. That would have went to me. That would have went to me. Would have went to me. That publishing would have went to me.
Wow. So 99 Problems. What made you come up with that line though?
I heard it. Now, some say that JT Money said the line first, but I got it from a guy. I got it from a heavy brother. Used to shoot dice all the time, you know, guys out in the streets. I got it from some street guys from Overtown, Florida, dude named Gigolo. I used to hear him saying it all the time.
And then I took problems. It. Yeah.
I took it and me and Ice, I'm out in L.A. and I'm riding in the car with Ice. Let me tell you how cold Ice is. And this is my truth. I'm riding in the car with Ice and I said it. Damn, boy, I got 99 problems and the bitch ain't one. So I comes back. I was in Atlanta. I gets a call in Atlanta to come to California to do this record with Ice. And that's the record. Mm. So I thank Ice. I thank him for at least putting me on the record. But he had the record already done, the hook, his verse on it and everything.
So
Ice stole game from me. He stole game.
Hey, yep. That's why he was. That's why he was who he was. So, when you Jay-Z uses it, and you're like, Where's mine at? So you just knew you wasn't getting none.
Oh yeah, yeah. I caught wind of it. I caught wind of it before the record actually came out, and I called ISIS people, and they were like, "Yeah, how did you find out about that?" They started acting funny. They started acting shady right from the beginning. So I'm like, "Oh, here we go again." And you know it. And yeah, that happened, man. I sure hate that got away from me. I didn't get a plaque for that or nothing. ISIS even say Jay-Z didn't even give him a plaque for it. ISIS say that Jay-Z doesn't even give him credit. But then I heard ISIS say, "Yeah, Jay-Z gonna buy me a ghost Rolls Royce. He's gonna buy me a Rolls Royce off of that."
And you get nothing.
And I get nothing. Yep. And ISIS don't want to pay me because like I told you, the lawyers got involved. I tried to get a lawyer to look into that. And as a matter of fact, that the lawyer just shut me down. I don't know if they gave him some money or what, but the case just went cold. The lawyer just stopped communicating with me and the case just went cold.
Is there a statute of limitations or you can try to get yours whenever?
I think the statute of limitations for that is over.
Wow. So you can't.
Yeah. And ICE is cold because, you know, I had some friends of ICE's that were friends of mine. And I guess they are like, you know how have the little entourage with the rich guy. So I guess they don't want to make ICE mad. So they didn't stop communicating with me, too. ICE didn't tell all his friends, don't say nothing to me. I guess he going to fire him or something. These is guys in their 60s.
Wow.
They can't say nothing to me because ICE told them.
Yeah, they're listening to here. So you know what's crazy to me? Because, again, I just remember you, you know, running around the videos, you having fun and Me So Horny and all these songs. And I wouldn't expect your life to be where it is right now. Like, I thought you would have been good. I didn't hear from you for years, but I thought you would have been good. I thought you'd have been up. I thought you would have. Why do you have such a good spirit?
Because that's me. I've always had a good spirit. I don't know what they thought that they were doing to me, but to me and myself personally, and people might think I'm crazy, but it doesn't take fame. It doesn't take recognition from those little raggedy ass records with all of that cussing on it. For me to be happy. I'm not that insecure. I'm secure with myself. I don't need no fame. I don't need nothing to be happy within myself. And it's probably God. And it's mostly God. God take care of babies and fools.
You ain't no baby, right?
In that situation, I was a fool. I told myself that I was going to make history because that was one of my favorite subjects in school. And I did. I made history. And that's it. But I'm happy. And the farther that I detach myself from that situation with Weinberger and Luke and all of that foolishness with those records, the happier I am.
So right now you're not are you trying to rectify anything with Luke at any time?
Man, Luke ain't messing with me, man. Luke ain't messing with me. It's like I done used them, took all their money, now get on down the road. And for the most part, I don't think that me and Luke could ever have a relationship because he's gonna try to run those same tactics, those little woolly bully schoolyard bully tactics. And I'm not having that. You know, he's gonna come in talking slick, you know, trying to handle you, talking down to you, disrespecting you. And then I don't think that me and Luke will ever have a successful meeting because, you know, I'm going to have to fight him and his overly gorgeous secretary. So you know, it never happened. And, you know, they say, you know, you heard that saying all money ain't good money. That's definitely not good money.
I did a whole live stream called All Money Ain't Good Money. So not only did you not get paid, you said Chinaman didn't get paid. So did he die broke too?
Yes, Chinaman died broke. I told the white boy, I said, you know, Chinaman going to die broke years before he died. And one of the white boys, now this is the time that I really wanted to snuff somebody. I'm at the record label out there in Miami Lakes. And this is a gentleman that works for Mr. Weinberger. He says, yeah, you know, our idea for Two Live Crew is for them to live broke and to die with nothing. And I'm like, you know, if I had a gun right now, I'd shoot you in your motherfucking face, cracker.
Wow. But,
you know. I didn't do that. So yeah, Two Live Crew was just, it was just crazy. I mean, at Little Joe Records, you know, in the beginning, when we first went over there, this white boy had pamphlets of the Willie Lynch. He had Willie Lynch pamphlets floating around the office. So, you know, basically, he was basically telling us that he had it out for us then. And then he gets you over there and he want to talk about Luke all day and Luke this and Luke that. And he's scared of Luke himself. And then, you know, not meaning to get too personal, but, you know, those guys over there, I mean, they're not cool gay people. They're not nice gay people.
They're oh, so not the people nice that run the little joke. Oh.
Yeah, those Jews are gay. Yeah, those Jews are gay over there, and they're not the nice gay. They're not the nice gays. Even another Jewish gay dude called them the F word, and I'm like, well, why are you calling them? Because those guys over there really are fags.
Wow,
they're not the nice ones. They don't even represent our culture in the right way.
That culture, right? Within the culture. So let me ask you something. Did you start seeing a lot of stuff like as far as that was messing with your spirit, as far as like a lot of
all of
rituals
it,
and stuff?
A lot. You got to choose sides. They want you to sit up in there and be a yes man, laugh at all of their jokes because they got the money. And then rich cats, you know, rich dudes tend to listen to one another. By the people that they talk about are left to struggle and suffer. So, yeah, I'm not choosing sides. That's probably why me and Luke probably didn't get along. I'm not a yes man. If I don't like you, I don't care if you got $1 billion. I ain't trying to mess with you.
Did they ever come to you at a point and try to do some weird, queer stuff to you?
No.
Okay.
No. They already figured, well, you know, it ain't going to take much money for Mark. You know, he likes to rap. He's into the culture. He has a passion for it. So, you know, he wasn't already giving nobody any money. So if I didn't say anything or not come around, that was even cool. That was even better. That was even better. You know what I'm saying?
We know now about a lot of people selling their soul. Well, did you see a lot of people selling their soul for this fame?
Oh my God. My God. I have seen people that work with famous people sell their soul, that I have to remind them. I used to remind them every day that you're selling your soul. Like, for instance, and I don't mean to get too personal with guys or put anybody out there, but, you know, it was one time that, you know, it's this guy that works for Mr. Weinberger, that works for Little Joe Records, that Chinaman and Little Joe appointed to be our road manager. Mm-hmm. So I know that. Kind of, you know, I know he was kind of, you know, bisexual or whatever, you know, I had came up on him in a few instances where him and Mr. Weinberger looked like, you know, caught him in a compromising position. Whoa. You know, looked like, you know, yeah, just, yeah. You know, trying to get into some or whatever they do. But anyway, I'm going into the urinal and one time I'm going into the urinal room and this dude is, you know, like trying to, you know, make some suggestions at my private parts. And I'm like, man, you know, I know you gay, but you have to keep that over there, bro. I'm not rocking like that at all. And then one guy tried to make a joke. This fat Jamaican dude, a real wealthy Jamaican guy, was like, yeah, Marquise, if you was a fag, you would be staying on South Beach in a condo riding around in a Wraith. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not a fag.
So the fact that you never went that way, go ahead. I
represented Two Live Crew. And if anybody representing Two Live Crew going to get some pussy, that was me. But that's about me. I ain't never had no problems with that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So when you seen, so you was gone by the time the Death Row and Luke beef started. Was you still there?
Oh, that's kind of crazy how that started, right? For me, because, you know, I got people that come from L.A., you know, mm-hmm. I got cousins that come from L.A. and they come from, you know, like, you know, right in there and kind of into that culture, which they never did like Luke.
Mm.
So, you know, I had a cousin sometimes that he would, you know, I wouldn't even think, you know, he'd pop up in the limousine coming to pick us up from the hotel and he'd be in the limousine. And, you know, and Luke was made mention one time that who are these guys with those Jerry curls and, you know, cousin, you know, he carried 245s and he wanted to peel Luke. I used to be like, no, I'll leave him alone. And that's kind of, you know, he was kind of into that at that time in the 90s. He was into that sort of thing. And they come from 83rd and Figueroa, which are A-Tray Hoovers. Mm. And they're actually from Rochester, too.
Mm.
actually from Rochester too. So yeah, these are my, and he didn't like Luke, and he was into that kind of thing at one time, and he really wanted to knock Luke over. And I was like, man, don't do it. Don't, please don't do it. Let him live. Let him live. Let him have that money. Please don't do it. And I think it was, you know, but they told me it was a couple of phone calls made to where, like, if you come to California, I'm going to do something to you. And Luke was like, well, who is this? And they said Compton Crip Gang, but really they was another gang. Mm-hmm. And then Luke started to talk about Cowards in Compton. That's, I don't know if that's all the way true. I try to know the stuff that I know, but I heard something like that, but I don't know if that was all the way true. But yeah, I was at the Jack the Rapper in Orlando when the Miami guys, when Luke had boosted up the Miami dudes to fight the LA dudes. I thought that was really so stupid.
So you was there. The LA dudes, yeah. Who was the LA dudes exactly?
They was, I don't know, some of Snoop's them people, but, you know, I was with Pac and the rapper Mac 10 was right there while they were fighting. And I'm like, I'm not going to be fighting nobody from LA because I got to go to LA to see my favorite auntie. And
so they they got it on. You see, you was right there.
They got it on. Yeah, and I got to maneuver through A-Trey Gangster Crip, so I ain't messing with LA, period.
I heard that you know, Luke has some big football dudes with him, though, like out there. He had like the
everybody loves Luke. Everybody loves Luke. Luke is the guy. He's the guy. Yeah, Luke is the guy when he got the people with him. You know, when he got the people with him.
Yeah. could I real quick? Could y'all get the likes up on this video? Come on, man. I need them likes. We got 1,400 people in the room, and we got 300 likes. This is Brother Marquise from the legendary group. Two Live Crew. I'm gonna let him know. I think he's a legend, even though I don't really like the legend word either. Though I have an issue with legend, but I really believe that you did legendary stuff. So that's what makes you a legend. It's just so bad that I don't like how we treat our legends, and I think many of our legends don't get paid like legends. So, you know, I have an issue with that. Right now, if Luke call you and say, let's do a Two Live Crew album, what would you say?
I don't think that would ever happen. Luke has a lot of pride. He has too much pride. He has too much. And somebody said that too. A young lady said that last night. Luke is going to call you sometime this year. So you need to pray and you need to attack that situation with the most maturity as possible. But I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. I probably wouldn't even want to work with Luke. I probably wouldn't even want to work with him. And right now he probably he ain't gonna never say it, but he probably could use me right now because he didn't ever want to do anything because we was over there with Mr. Weinberger. And Mr. Weinberger owns the name Two Live Crew. The Jewish dudes. They own the name Two Live Crew.
Wow, because he sold everything, right?
Yeah, Luke sold everything. I ain't over there with Mr. Weinberger right now, and Luke still ain't messing with me. He's always say, well, if they wasn't over there with the cracker, you know, that's what he called it. They wasn't over there with the cracker, I'd mess with him. But I ain't with the cracker right now. So he still ain't going to mess with me, so that ain't going to never happen.
Did you see the rise of, was you around or was you gone when you started seeing, like, the Trick Daddies come into the scene and the Rick Rosses and the Trinas? Was you still in Miami for all that?
Yeah, I was around. I think I was in one of Trick Daddy videos, one of his first videos. Trick Daddy's a real cool dude. I like Trick. He's funny. He's real funny. He's real intelligent. I actually like talking to him. And I just seen him a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, and I had a chance to congratulate him on everything. He's real. Yeah, Trick's real good dude.
So when they see you, are they like, OG, legend? How do everybody treat you?
Regular. I don't expect to get treated any kind of way with respect. I just want the same respect that I'd give the average guy in and outside of the music business.
What I'm saying to you is that when they see you, because when artists from New York see somebody like a Grandmaster Caz or somebody like that, or Big Daddy Kane or Rakim, we know that, okay, you are the forefather of what we're doing here. So when these Miami artists see you, they don't say, OG, you, thank you.
Yeah, they say that.
Okay.
Some of them say that. Yeah, what's up, OG? How you doing? And basically, I keep it moving. You know, I keep it moving. I've never gravitated to where celebrities were, man. I've never did. I was always into my own thing. If you rap and we make music, that's just what we do, but we ain't got nothing in common. And besides, when we was in Two Live Crew too, when we was doing all of that, they tried to isolate us from everything. Wow. They always kept us away from everybody. Yeah, kept us away from everybody. I guess Luke probably thought somebody was going to try to sign us or steal us or whatever. And I was cool with that, man.
Why didn't you go solo?
I'm the only child. I've been by myself I've been taking care of myself my whole life.
Why didn't you go solo?
I didn't go solo because it was just too much pain. I was hurt. I could never focus. I could never focus. And Mr. Mix left. That was all I knew. That was all I was used to working with. I could never work with nobody else. And then, you know, after that too, then my mom's died, and then I was partying a little bit more. And that's when, you know, drugs had came into play a little bit in my life. And I wasn't just there. I wasn't just there mentally. And for a while, I gave up on I wasn't even listening to rap music. I would be into R&B. I was just like, fuck that whole vibe.
Do you feel like you was at a point where they was feeding you drugs to keep you?
Hell no. I'm in Miami. I can get my own. Shit, I can get him and sell him right now if I want to.
No. We don't say that on here. He's saying hypothetically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you ain't Vlad. Vlad, so I'm safe with you.
You are absolutely safe with me. You know what I'm saying? Why haven't you? I think you did an interview with Soren Baker. Shout out to Soren Baker and Unique Access. Why aren't you plastered all over the blogger spheres? Why aren't you doing all these interviews?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that's God's protection. God is saving me for something. He is saving me for something. Yep. Saving me for something. Man.
I'm happy, but I'm so, like I said, I don't get starstruck, but I'm happy that you're here. Shout out to Nicole for making this happen, because she definitely was like, yo, you got to interview Brother Marquise. And I was like, who's Brother Marquise? She was like, Two Live Crew. I'm like, hold on. Because you know what? You always resemble to me. You and Mr. Cheeks always resembled to me. So I used to always be like, Mr. Cheeks looked like the dude from Two Live Crew to me. Like, because you had the gold teeth. You know what I'm saying? He had the gold teeth. So y'all always, the jewelry, did you at least, they at least bought you jewelry though, right? Or you had to pay for your own jewelry?
I bought my own jewelry. You know, it was things that, you know, it wasn't like all the way bad. I mean, you know, Luke had built a subdivision. He gave me a house.
Okay.
I had Mercedes, Cadillacs, trucks, and things of that sort. But he was not giving us the money. That was just off of show money and a little bit of money that he was giving us. And then when he did give me some money and I bought a car, that's the first thing he said, oh, yeah, you should be saving that money instead of going out here buying cars, putting rims on them. So he'll give you some money and then tell you don't spend it in the same place. And the check ain't shit. And the check ain't shit, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
So, he did do some things like that. He gave me my own house, and versus Chinaman and Mr. Mix, they had to pay for theirs. Mine was free, and I probably had a little bit more cars than them. Mr. Mix had all of the jewelry. I never was too much in the jewelry anyway, because the shit was, it was in Miami. That shit was hot. That shit get hot all around your neck. That shit be hot. Yeah, with all that shit. I like to move around a little bit too much.
If you had a dollar figure, right, roundabout, how much money are you owed?
Man, I couldn't even shit. I couldn't even say how much money I was owed. And you know, and sometimes I look at that too. Like if I'd have had that money, I probably would have been dead. Mm. Probably would have been around a pole somewhere fucked up and dead. So it's cool. It's working out. I came with Luke with nothing. I left him with nothing. So it was like a dice game. I broke even.
And you're alive.
And I'm alive.
And you're alive.
And I'm happy. Happy as fuck.
Yep. Yeah, shout out to Russell Adams for the donation. Wasn't Dougie Fresh signed to Luke too?
I don't think so. Hell no.
No, he signed the hammer. No. He signed the hammer. I'm bugging. He signed the hammer. Yeah, I'm bugging. He signed the hammer.
But nobody trying to sign to Luke, especially not from, I think only person that was signed, I think Professor Griff was signed to Luke, and he had Jiggy G.
You're right. What the hell was Professor Griff doing?
Professor Griff was signed to Luke, and then how that. That was crazy how that started. We damn near had to fight P.E. because Leor Cohen used to give us the business back in the days. Two Live Crew gets 10 minutes. They can't put up no backdrop, no riser. Yeah, he was a hell of a dude. Yeah, on the tours. Yep. Leo Cohen. Dude, they used to give us the business. My first show with Run DMC, we had to fight them. Mr. Mix was cutting Peter Piper, and Run came out and took the 12-inch off the turntable, the 1200, and threw it into the thing. And
so I'm y'all like, fist? Shit. So whoa. So y'all fist fought Run DMC?
No. It wasn't a fist fight. It didn't get that far. But it was just a confrontation. Mr. Mix was cutting Peter Piper. Run came out and took the shit and threw the shit out. But then after that, though, I was cool with Jam Master Jay. God bless he dead, and I was always cool with Jay. And I think about, 7 years ago, I just had an opportunity to talk to DMC, but never Run. And I was fans of them. I'm like, you know, shit, I'm listening to these guys in the 11th grade, and in the 12th grade, I'm on the fucking stage with them. That was the very first big show I ever had with somebody, was with Run DMC. We were in a barn somewhere in Mississippi.
Dope. So, somebody in the chat room wanted to know, what is your life like now? Are you considered to be a square? Are you a working man? Do you do the 9-to-5 thing?
I'm always looking for a job. I have a job now, and I'm looking for a better job. Yeah, you could say I'm square. I like that.
I love it. And I don't job shame. I don't care if you are.
I love being a square. I love being a square. If I can wake up and go outside and somebody doesn't know me or recognize me, I am cool. I like public transportation. I like riding my bicycle, getting exercise. I'm just on some totally different shit than someone that has did a lot for the culture and the record business. I'm just on some opposite shit. I've always been like that. I guess because I come from humble beginnings, and I used to go to my grandmother's house. I used to come from nice shit in New York. Then I have to go down south to a shack. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So
outhouse? You was in the outhouse and all that?
But I have to go down south to a fucking shack, man. And I remember the Ku Klux Klan, my grandmother grabbing me. This Ku Klux Klan is downtown raising money. And she's like, you know, those are not the kind of white folks that you need to be around, son. They don't like us. I've always been with regular folks. I've never hung out with celebrities. I can say the closest rap friend I ever had probably was Ice-T.
How that worked out?
He'd come and pick you up, and he'd just talk all day about him and what he got. Wow. You know, Mark, you know, these bitches, I got this car, you know, see these diamonds and shit.
Somebody in the chat room asked, what was Tupac's vibe like?
Tupac?
Yes.
I really didn't. Every time I seen Tupac, he embraced you and gave you a hug, and I kind of felt something. And I've had opportunities to kick it with him too, but I didn't. I didn't want to bother him. He was like, right there, I'm right there. But I did used to be roommates with Tupac's brother, Mo Preem. So I actually had a chance to sit in the room and look at the videos and look at letters and pictures, and felt like I was just right there with the dude.
What about Luke's Peep Show? You was gone by then.
Yeah, I was gone by then, and I used to have, I used to answer the phone in the morning. I get up in the morning drinking coffee, and Matula used to call, and I used to get a lot of wisdom and knowledge from Matula.
That's Tupac's stepfather that's incarcerated. Yeah, that's Matula.
Right, wow. Yep.
Wow. So, go ahead.
That was the closest that I ever got to that, and I think I got a couple of records somewhere with Big Syke and Mo Preem. Me and Mo Preem used to record a little bit. And that was closest I ever got to that.
So if the fans wanted to help you and assist you, how could the fans help you and assist you?
That's a good question. I mean,
I do this for a living, you know.
Fans. Yeah. Shit. And Two Live Crew does have a hell of a fan base, boy. Yes, especially Chinaman. You were saying that Chinaman didn't get a lot of notoriety? Shit.
No, from the fans we do, but I feel like the industry didn't really give him his just due.
The industry really ain't give Two Live Crew no notoriety anyway. They looked at us like we were a novelty act. Two Live Crew, that shit that we were talking, it wasn't even considered to be hip-hop by a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Because of our content and the music. You know what I mean?
So how could you, like, do you have social media? Like, what are you doing?
Me, I have Facebook right now, just for my relatives out there, so they can keep track of me.
Come on, man. We got to make you an Instagram. What's going on, man? You need an Instagram.
You know what? I am not with social media. I think that shit is for them young kids. I was on there. I think I got 800 fucking followers, and that was it. And I'm like, I'm done with this shit.
No. So you still have the page?
Yeah, but I forgot the email, the passwords, and the phone numbers.
I'm going to talk to Nicole. We're going to make... Listen, bro, because... This is the deal. Like, you know, what I love about my audience, we love legendary artists. That's what I pride myself in, you know, dealing with. So you have people that just want to talk to you, just tell you how much they love you and all that. And I think you need that love. I want to give you, you know, the love, but you need that love. You know what I'm saying? You definitely need that love. You definitely need the fans to let you know, you know, what you did for them and how they got beatings because your records was on, and how they snuck to the store and bought your records. You know what I'm saying? You do have a Cash App. I think Nicole is in the chat and she actually put your Cash App up. Nicole, can you put it up one more time?
That's embarrassing. I don't need nobody to send me no money. I can get my own money. I can feed myself.
Nah, bro. It ain't about that.
I don't need nobody sending me no money. I ain't that bad.
It's not about that. It's not about that. It's just that fact that people really want to show their appreciation, man. Like, you really, really, you Marquise. All right, there we go. Marquise Cash App is BMQ2. $BMQ2. So damn it, I'm gonna make sure that it's in the description box.
This is embarrassing. I'm in my own apartment. I got a refrigerator full of food.
No, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
Own shit. I'm not sleeping on the streets. I'm eating well.
Listen, this is not a charity case. We're not saying that you need charity, right? The deal is that it's people who want to support you for what you did for the culture. And some people just want to say, yo, listen, thank you.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Oh, like a female say, that's
and the
cool.
Best thing for people to do when they want to thank you is to sock it to your pocket. Just remember that. It's not that you're begging. It's not that you need the money, but some people want to send you some stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I suggest you take it. You know what I'm saying? I suggest you take it. You're not begging. You know what I'm saying? You're not begging and you're doing good. You're doing fine. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy that you're happy. You're healthy. You're clean. You're sober. And, you know, you don't look 80 years old. You don't look washed up, but I like your humility. You know what I'm saying? So, I think people need to do, we need some, listen, some, all right, if, all right, look, so this is what we do. If you're not going to take the Cash App, could you at least do some type of merch? Could you at least do something to reward your fans so they don't feel like they're giving you anything. They feel like they're receiving something from you. So do some merch or something like that. Get some t-shirts.
But Nicole will take care of all of that.
Yes, Nicole, I'm going to talk to Nicole after that. Yeah, I'm going to talk to Nicole. So we're going to make sure, listen, Doggy Diamonds TV, this is the fan base that I have. I'll never have the fan base that you have. But what we're going to do is we're going to make sure that you got your merches out there. We're going to make sure, because if the industry not going to take care of you, we going to take care of you.
Fuck no.
No, but we're going to take care of you. No, we got you.
Fuck no.
We got you. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I never, listen, I told my cousin, yo, I'm going to talk to Marquise from Two Live Crew. He like, what? You know what I'm saying? So we like, you know, like I said, I'm really happy, but it's the new game. I want you to be in the game and you're playing it your way. Right. So if you get merch, it could be just a t-shirt. You know what I'm saying? Just a t-shirt with your face on it. It don't have to say, Two Live Crew, we want you to get your just due. You know what I'm saying? Even if it comes from the people, you know what I'm saying? So Nicole, I'm going to talk to Nicole later on. I'm telling you, we going to get you some t-shirts. Shout out to Anthony Patrick for the donation. Look, Anthony Patrick said, you just gave me memories. Thank you. We have 1400 people in the room to see you, bro. They came to see you. They're here. They're in my room. We're already at 700 likes. I'm looking at the playbacks in real time. We're already due to have at least 11,000 views on this video. 11,000.
Big. I love the people. I love the people. I love the energy of the people. I love the people more than I love the industry.
And they're in the chat room saying that they love you. You know what I'm saying? So what we want to do, we want to make sure you have shirts. We want to make sure you have something to at least, you don't feel like you're begging. You feel like, hey, I gave you a shirt. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely I'm going to help Nicole set you up because I got my own, you know, my own shirts and everything like that. So you won't even have to do nothing. You won't have to do nothing. All you're going to do is get something sent to you when they buy your stuff. You don't have to bag nothing up. You don't have to make the shirt. You don't have to do anything. I make sure everything is straight. You know what I'm saying? And from me, Doggy Diamonds, for you coming and blessing my platform, I definitely want to make sure that you good. So we got to get you an Instagram. Stop playing. I'm gonna be calling your phone like, yo, what's the Instagram? What's the Instagram? We got to get you an Instagram. You on Facebook.
Instagram.
Yeah, no, we're going to get you on and we're going to make sure on your Instagram. We're going to make sure you know how to operate the Instagram. You know what I'm saying? And all.
I know how to operate the Instagram.
Yeah, because we had a little, I just wanted the people to know this Skype was a little, you know, we got it though. He called on, but, you know, we almost didn't. And shout out to Nicole. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm going to get it, boy. I'm going to get it after I get up. I told you was prehistoric. I'm going to get it from the females. I told you was prehistoric. Yeah, yeah. You need to get with it.
Yeah. No, but what I want to do, like I said, for me, I feel honored. I feel happy. And you've been texting me, you know, and you've been really, really corresponding to me, wishing me well. And it's rare that people like you exist in this industry still. You're not even angry. You're not bitter. Because see me, I would have clapped Luke. I'm going to just keep it real. I would have shot him in his leg or something like that. Just me personally. I just can't. But you know you happy and you smiling and you having a good time. And I'm happy that you're happy.
Man, I'm not going to let that shit keep me down, man. That's just money. That's just money. And that's just how some people are. Some people are going to be that way. I'm not going to let them take my joy, steal my joy. For what? Yeah. This is all I got. This is all I got. Yeah. This is all I got. My soul, and I kept it. And I kept it.
And you're blessed and highly favored. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to show you. Like I said, the people definitely going to show you. My audience is definitely going to show you. We're going to get you an Instagram. We're going to do a complete 2021. This is the beginning of the year. And this is the first, besides Brother Cam, this is the first live stream I did live with the people. Normally, again, I do it and then upload it. So, We not going to let you go out, unfortunately, like Chinaman. We not going to let you go out like that. We not going to let you go out with people not knowing who you are. We not going to let you go out going out without you receiving your just due. Because some people die from the lack of appreciation. You know what I'm saying? And we going to make sure that you appreciate it. You celebrate it. You got all them damn albums and you got, you know, like I said, you a part of my, I wasn't even supposed to be looking at your stuff. And I was young. I probably was in single digits and I was getting in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So I want to be personally responsible for helping getting you together and making sure you have your audience that you deserve. I want you to be able to touch the people and I want the people to be able to touch you. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to make sure your merch is straight. And I'm not going to get a dollar off nothing. Let's just say that I don't want nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy that you came here. So I'm definitely going to speak to Nicole and I'm going to give her all the knowledge and wisdom that I have to make sure you doing good and you great. You know what I'm saying? And I thank you for coming. So you can't give out your Instagram because you ain't got it yet, but you will have an Instagram before this week is out. Yeah. You will have an Instagram before this week is out.
I will.
So, I'm, you know what I'm saying? I want to, you know, like I said, I just want to help, you know what I'm saying? I just want to help as much as I can. And, I root for the underdog. You know what I'm saying? I always root for the underdog. And the fact that you've been the underdog, yo, we going to make sure you good. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, it is what it is. So I'm Doggy Diamonds. This is Brother Marquise. Anything you want to say to the people before you go?
Man, I love the people. I love the fans. I love everybody who supported us throughout the years and the people, you know, and their ongoing and continual support throughout all of the bullshit and fuckery, you know, that still stuck behind Two Live Crew when me and Chinaman was out there touring. the people that came to see us and showed their love and appreciation, you know, I wouldn't have been able to even do that if it wasn't for the people. So, you know, the fans have always been there. I just detached myself away from the industry and that. The fans have always been there. I just went left, you know, in a good way.
You had to deprogram yourself. So what about the book? Do you have a book coming? You got to have a book.
Nicole was talking about that. Me and Nicole is talking about that right now. I got some people that want to help me do that, but you know, you got to be careful with the information. You got to find the right person.
No. Like I said, I'm in now. I'm in by default. You know what I'm saying? And I want to thank you for coming on here. Thanks to Nicole Key. She's in the chat room right now for being on. Down, you know what I'm saying? Because it's rare that you find people that are down. She's down for you, like she want to see you win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. God has sent that girl, man, and man, she's been hanging in there with me, man, through thick and thin. I really appreciate that young lady. She's been working on this thing, man, for like what, about 2 or 3 years right now.
And y'all finally won. That's what me and her conversation is going to be about. She's going to talk about the victory. So I know why you happy, because you know you finally got vindicated after all this time. But now we got to make sure that the people who love you get to tell you that.
It ain't over yet.
No, you still.
It ain't over yet.
But bringing light to it, right, also helps you in a court of public opinion, which is very important. You know what I'm saying? Right. And it is what it is. So, yo, I'm going to sign you out and I'm going to sign up the show. I will chat it up with you later on. Nicole is on the West Coast, so I get to call her. And again, thank you for joining me today. And we're going to build later on.
All right. Cool beans, brother. Right. I love you, man.
Yeah. Love you too, man.
Man, right. And I'm gonna call you. I got some things that I need to ask you. Yes. But thank you for everything, man. And thank you for allowing me to be on your platform, share your platform with you. And
I'm peace glad out that you came on.
Love peace. All fans. Thanks to everybody that tuned in.
All right, peace. Yo. So yeah, y'all, that was Brother Marquise from the legendary group 2 Live Crew, man. Because somebody put the Cash App up so I could pin it. But I'm going to make sure that it's in the description box. I'll make sure it's there. So it's going to be the first comment. So when y'all come back later on, y'all definitely going to see his Cash App if y'all want to send him something. But we're going to make sure that he has I'm going to talk to Nicole. I'm about to call Nicole as soon as I hang with you. We're going to make sure he have merch. I'm going to give her all the information that I have to where they don't have to be killing themselves doing the work. And I'm just happy, man. I just interviewed Brother Marquise from 2 Live Crew, you know what I'm saying? From Me So Horny fame and Banned in the USA and, you know, really responsible for putting Miami on the map. So what I need y'all to do, my people, I need y'all to share this. I need them likes. Oh, there we go right there. Brother Marquise Cash App. Let me pin that right now. Hold on. Damn, I can't pin it. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, I could. Let me know if y'all see it pinned. There we go. It's pinned right up there. There we go. So, what up, Cynthia in the room? Kareem Johnson Blizz is in the room. Larry Green, you know what I'm saying? I see all y'all in here, and I thank y'all for rocking out with me, man. I got so much stuff for this year. Y'all going to be proud. If y'all wasn't proud of me before and y'all wasn't subscribed and if y'all didn't hit that bell, y'all going to have to do that because I got a lot going on. You know what I'm saying? And this is going to be a hell of a ride. And y'all been with me. No, I didn't listen to 2 Live Crew, but you know, years later, we was forced. They was everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I said early on we didn't. You know what I'm saying? But I want to do more lives. Before I go, I got an Inspect the Deck interview. Woo! You know what I'm saying? Watch what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to Brother Marquise, man. That dude is so humble. You know what I'm saying? I had a family emergency and a health scare, and he hit me up, man. It was just, you know, he just gave me some kind words, and I'm like, damn, man, this is a legend that don't even know he a legend because I don't think people tell him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? So if y'all think I'm a legend, then that man is, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. So, yeah, shout out to y'all. Y'all been with me for 5-6 years. You know what I'm saying? I'm working on a lot of stuff. And I'm glad y'all in the chat room with me. Y'all here with me tonight. So with that, you know, I got to go. It is the time. I got a lot going on, and y'all going to see. You know what I'm saying? Y'all going to see. I'm going to put a little clip of the suspected deck out. If y'all follow me on Instagram, Doggy Diamonds, y'all would see. And me, and you know, Deck don't do interviews. Inspector Deck don't do interviews. So we went deep. You know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. I thank y'all for joining me again. No matter what we talk about, we always talk about the music. That's what brings us all together. So we could talk about a lot of the gossip. We could talk about all of that. But we always have to talk about the music. So I need y'all to like this. I need y'all to share this. I need you to share this to your Facebook. I need you to share this to your Twitter. I need you to share this all over. I need you to share this. I need you to screenshot it, put on your Instagram. Yo, we just heard from Brother Marquise from 2 Live Crew. We didn't even know if he was alive. We didn't know what was going on. That man is alive. Living, breathing. Shout out to Boxing Legend United for the donation. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? So with that, man, I'm Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. Until next time. Oh, and make sure you click the bell, please. And also, the audio version of this will be out soon. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast. The audio. I'm on iTunes. I'm on Spotify. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to make sure that man get an Instagram. We're going to make sure he get, we're going to make sure he get his just due. You know what I'm saying? And I'm Doggy Diamonds. And I need that at least 200,000 subscribers. You know what I'm saying? Tell a friend to tell a friend they need to subscribe, because there's a lot of buffoonery and coonery going on. And these channels have a lot of subscribers, and I'm a little confused. You know what I'm saying? About what do y'all want? You know what I'm saying? Not my audience, but I'm confused by what are people really gravitating towards, you know? So it is what it is, man. I'm Doggy Diamonds. I'm out. Peace. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. This. Doggy Diamonds did this.